Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To try FreshBooks absolutely free for 30 days, visit freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry and I am your host. If there were a Mount Rushmore of productivity gurus, it's almost certain that David Allen's face would be on that Mount Rushmore. David is the author of Getting Things Done. He is someone who's dedicated really decades of his life to helping other people be more productive and to put better work into the world. And I think sometimes for creative pros, I think sometimes we find this discussion about productivity to be a little bit mucky and icky because we think, well, you can't organize creativity, you can't systemize creativity, you can't put creativity into some kind of a workflow. Well, we all know as creative pros, that is not true. The reality is if you want to produce great work over time, you need a system to get it done. You need some kind of infrastructure to support your ambition. And personally, I found David's Getting Things Done methodology to be that support system for me that's really helped me over time to be more productive and to put a tremendous amount of work into the world over time. That would not have happened had I not come across David's work back in the early 2000s. So on today's show, we have David back on the show, and he's going to talk to us about what he's up to now, about his latest thoughts about productivity. We're going to talk a little bit about monkey mind. We're going to talk a little bit about topics that relate to creative pros, and also his GTD summit, which is coming up in June in Amsterdam, which is going to be kind of, I think he describes as kind of the capstone on his career. Thousands of people coming from all over the world to learn together and to grow together. So we're going to talk to David in just a minute. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. Hey, entrepreneurs, because I know we have a lot of you listening. Do you remember when you started your small business? It was no small feat. It took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. The bottom line is you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things just a little bit easier? Our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you way more organized than that dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in about 30 seconds, and you can get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. You can file expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part, FreshBooks grows alongside your business. So you'll always have the tools ready when you need them without having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. So join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days. There's no catch and there's no credit card required. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have back on the show today, David Allen. As many of you know, David is, it's an icon to me. He's one of my heroes, one of the people that helped me when I was early in my career. He didn't know it, but he helped me when I was early in my career as a leader to organize my thought process and organize my team. Just has had a profound impact on my philosophy and my thinking about all things creativity and productivity. So David Allen, welcome back to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd, I'm so delighted to talk to you again. I mean, you've created so many cool things and especially stuff we've used too. So delighted. Thanks for the invitation.
That's amazing. First of all, I think this is probably always a good thing to do, even though I know people who have been listening to the show for a while are very familiar with you and the GTD methodology. But could you just give a little bit of background about who you are and the GTD work that you have done over the course of what? I don't know how many years now, but could you just give us a little background about that?
35 years, Todd. Okay. So some small little segment of my life, half my life, actually. I'm just turned 73. I got intrigued with clear space from a spiritual, metaphysical, martial arts, and other kinds of frameworks. But then got into the professional world, started my own consulting business, and was saying, well, wait a minute, there's so much confusion and clutter and distraction out there. How do we get rid of that so that we can focus on the most meaningful stuff? So I began or actually I just got involved. I couldn't help it really, in finding what were the best practices that made that happen. And so I can say it now. I didn't know that back then. I was just putting one foot in front of the other to try to figure this out. But, you know, figured out some best practices that work for me. I thought, wow, that's really cool. And that lets me stay focused on what I need to do, though my life got more complex than somebody in the, you know, huge, you know, corporate HR training world discovered what I was doing and said, God, we need this in our whole corporation. So can you design a training around this? So I did that in 1983, 84. And then that became part of my work. I said, oh, wow, I've been asked to take what I've discovered, not only from a coaching business, and then my coaching really and consulting became more of a one-on-one with senior executives in these large corporations doing this methodology. And then, you know, training hundreds of thousands of people actually out there in lots of companies and all over the place with this stuff. 20 years later, I discovered, hey, you know, I now know that what I uncovered, nobody else seemed to have uncovered the way I did it, that it was bulletproof. And so wrote the book. So that's when Getting Things Done showed up in 2001. But that was after 20, 25 years, really, of me being involved in thousands of hours, you know, sitting one-on-one with some of the best and brightest and busiest and most creative people you could ever meet in your life, you know, implementing this stuff and watching the power of what it did when you did that. And so that then became, I say, okay, God, well, I guess, you know, the world wants this. So my wife and I decided, okay, let's try to just see if we can leverage this and expand it. How do we scale this into the world that wants it? So that's a very long story, very short, you know, Todd, yeah. So in terms of where we are and where we were. But the whole process was just uncovering a set of best practices about what we need to do to keep our mind uncluttered.
So we're not going to go into the GTD methodology. If you want to know more about that, if you're listening to this and you're intrigued, first of all, go buy Getting Things Done. It will be the best money you spend this week or this year. But second of all, go back and listen to any of the interviews I've done with David in the past, or listen to my interview with David. I think it's out there on the web somewhere.
But come on. Your Epiphio shtick that you did, we still use that as an introduction.
Great,
you know, it was so cool.
Oh, good.
So anybody just go Google Epiphio, David Allen, Todd, you know, Henry, and you will get a 2 or 3 or 4 minute, however long that thing is, an absolutely brilliant expose of, you know,
oh, that's great.
This methodology.
I think there were monkeys involved in that video, if I remember, something with the monkey
exactly.
Mind. Yeah. It was great. It was really good. Right. But I think an important point here, David, for people, you know, a lot of people listening are maybe earlier in their career, maybe in the first 10 years of their career, and they're thinking, this isn't happening fast enough for me. I'm not achieving the success I want fast enough. And what I'm hearing you describe is a career that began in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was really 2001. I mean, you were achieving some success, but 2001 before you published the book that became really kind of the thing that you're most known for. I mean, this was 20 years into your doing this. Was there ever a point, and now we're almost 20 years later, right? So it's taken 20 years then to scale to where you are now. Was there ever a point in those first 20 years where you thought, oh man, this is just too hard. I can't do this anymore. I need to figure something else out.
No, I still just wanted to keep a good job. So, you know, I just kept figuring out what could I do that kept adding value to people that were willing to pay me money for the time I spent with them. Yeah. So I just kept adding sort of arrows to my quiver, if you will, in terms of my consulting and coaching business, which was, you know, I wasn't particularly entrepreneurial or aspirational, still not.
Yeah.
You know, I was more of an educator. I was more of a researcher to find out what this stuff was and then figure out something that somebody's willing to pay me for.
Yeah.
Then it kind of, almost by accident, probably no accidents, but they're probably almost by accident, this thing just kind of, well, you're the accidental creator, right? So almost by accident, this thing just kind of showed up and it hit nerves, not immediately, but slowly it started to build. And I discovered that I had uncovered something that was unique and it started to just build. So I don't know what kind of formula I could give your folks listening to this about what that means, but maybe you could do that better than me.
Well, no, I just, to me, it's just a story of you knew that you were providing value and you just continued showing up for 20 years, you know? And if you show up for 20 years, eventually something that you do is going to resonate with people. You know,
as long as you're still motivated by it.
Yeah.
As long as you still get it.
Yeah.
I really got this and it resonated with something very deep inside of me, which was we're on the planet to complete and to create. And those are the two ultimate aspects of what you're here to do. You're here to finish whatever you put in motion and be accountable for it, and then accountable for where you put your creative energy, because you can't stop that. You know, anybody listening to this right now can't stop thinking about something and something you want to do, and everybody's being driven by these. So I sort of uncovered something that, you know, at a very deep level, and I'll say this cautiously, spiritually, but as well as just who we are as human beings, you know, that we're here to accomplish, to expand, to express, to experience, you know, stuff in our life. You can't stop that. So, yeah. But then making that, getting appropriately engaged with what that means for you, that's a lot of what our challenge is. And we're not born doing that. So I just uncovered some, you know, simple, but some very subtle formulas about how do you make sure you stay clear and stay focused.
You know, one of the phrases that I heard from you for the first time, it didn't originate with you, I don't believe, but it's something that I think came out of your martial arts training. And it was in, by the way, I don't think I've ever told you this, Getting Things Done is not my favorite book of yours, which is Ready for Anything is my favorite book of yours.
Mine
and,
too.
And it's the book that probably, I mean, frankly, most people probably haven't heard of, right? I think it was the follow-up maybe to Getting Things Done. But I listened to that book nonstop. I had the audiobook version. I listened to it over and over and over and over again for about a year. And the phrase that always has stuck with me ever since then, and especially when I'm in a stressful season, David, is the phrase mind like water. Mm-hmm. Just this idea of cultivating a mind like water. Could you describe what that phrase means? And, you know, how does that apply to us as people? As you described, we're very busy. We have a lot going on. We have monkey brain constantly chattering. How do we apply this mind like water concept?
Well, the mind like water came from the martial arts. Basically, the idea of how do you get a clear head, because four people jump in a dark alley, you don't want to have 4,000 unprocessed emails sort of hanging in your psyche. Right. So, you know, right. So you need a clear head to be able to engage with surprise, with immediate, with, oh my God, you know, what do I do right now? And how do I engage and how do I feel good about that? But that comes, if you're distracted, and in other words, you have things, if you're taking one meeting into the next emotionally or psychologically or mentally, or you're taking home to work or work to home in your mind, you're not present either place. You're not in a mind like water state. So water appropriately engages with this environment, whether it's rushing or calm or whatever. Yeah. Water's not confused.
It just
engages with its world as it is. So a lot of my stuff, you know, really came and produces the ability to be, wait a minute, how do I get clear so I can watch my girl play soccer as opposed to be on my iPhone? I can't tell you, Todd, how many dramatic testimonials I've gotten over these years of parents that goes, oh my God, David, thank you so much. I was actually able to sit and watch my girl play soccer and not be distracted by the rest of my world. And how, you know, if anybody listening to this who's a parent, you know, probably knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
how critical that can be, you know, for somebody's life to get your head clear. So it's really about that. It's like, how do I make sure I keep my, how do I become present? See, the big secret, I guess, after all these years, and, you know, because you're such a cool guy and, you know, I'll talk to your audience, I'll tell you something that here's the big secret, guys. Getting things done is not so much about getting things done. It's about getting appropriately engaged with your life so that you're present with whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, you've talked a lot, David, about how that is also related to, I mean, this technological acceleration that we've experienced. I mean, you wrote Getting Things Done before, you know, we had email in our pocket 24/7, and technology brings agency, and with agency comes choice. And so it seems like we're constantly being forced to choose moment to moment, what is more important to me right now? Which of these things, you know, do I choose my kid's soccer game, or do I choose not getting fired by replying to my boss's email right now, you know, and we didn't used to have to make that choice. I mean, I remember I worked before there was such a thing as email in your pocket or text messaging. And, you know, it was like, well, I can't do anything about it right now. I might as well just be here at my kid's soccer game. I can't do anything till tomorrow. Or I didn't even know there was a problem. Right. And so I think we're in a world where this is more important than ever, because we're forced constantly to make these little choices about how we're going to engage.
Well, in a way, you can just call that the stress of opportunity.
Mm, yeah.
Right. I don't know where you are right now, Todd, but if suddenly wherever you are caught fire and the alarms are going off, you're not going to have any issues right. on your car or taxes or your girl playing soccer.
Right, right.
You know, you're going to have to survive. So you're going to get very focused on some desired outcome called live, not burn up. Mm-hmm. And have a next action. That's the door. There's the exit. Where do I go? Whatever I do. And in a sense, crisis puts you in your zone. So I just discovered you can get into your zone without waiting for a crisis to make that happen. Mm. So the thought process. So wait a minute. What's the desired outcome? What's the next step? And then how do I, you know, both capture and clarify and organize those things? So that I can sit here and you know, right now, Todd, come on, you're dealing with creative people. I'm staring because I picked up acrylic painting, you know, last year, and I've been playing with that. I'm staring at a canvas. Actually, I'm looking over my computer right now. I'm staring at a canvas that I just grayed out because I had painted a picture of my wife that I thought was lovely, but it wasn't quite her. And she keeps saying, "It's quite me." So I've dealt with that tension for, finally I went, screw it. And I just grayed it all out. Yeah. So I just created a whole new canvas that's now staring in front of me. It's a clear canvas. So I'm not getting rid of stress. All I'm doing is making a clear space so that I can let my creativity ramble to go and not be disturbed by something that's keeping me from moving forward to some new positive framework.
So let's talk about that moving forward aspect of your work, because you, David, you had all the pieces in place. You were living in California. You had a beautiful life. You and Catherine could have basically just said, all right, we're going to ride off into the sunset and we're just going to enjoy the rest of our days. But you chose instead, you know, the rational choice of let's pack up our life and move to Amsterdam and try to scale getting things done globally instead of, you know, just saying, okay, we had a good run. First of all, that is incredibly inspiring to me. And I hope, I mean, you were in your mid 60s when you made that decision, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I hope, David, when I'm in my mid-60s, I'm in my mid-40s right now. I hope when I'm in my mid-60s, I hope that I'm thinking, all right, what's next? What's the next step? What's the next stage? How am I going to scale this? That is super unbelievably inspiring. But why? Okay. I just have to ask, why? Why did you choose to pack up and move to Amsterdam?
I don't know. Couldn't help it. It was in front of me. It was there. You know, I don't know. Well, no, you know, come on. There's a lot of story I can add to this.
Sure.
You know, in terms of that, Catherine and I don't have kids, and we were, you know, we're starting to leave a much more virtual life anyway. And she was interested in getting out of U.S. centric thinking. Mm-hmm. So maybe moving to either Europe or Japan, which we're huge Japanophiles, so we love that culture. But, you know, that's not quite the center of the world. And a lot of my business was starting to go global by that point. And we said, you know, and we saw people a little older than us that were looking more sedentary than we felt comfortable being. Right. So we said, oh, come on, let's throw a dart. Let's keep the adventure going, if you will. And so, you know, it could have been London, but Amsterdam is cheaper than London. And it could have been Stockholm. Amsterdam's warmer than Stockholm. Much more the center of the world of what I'm doing. And we'd fallen in love with the city. We'd seen it two or three times already, which is as visitors. And it's such a eye candy and wonderful city. And the whole culture very much maps to sort of the essence of my stuff. You know, the Dutch are so incredibly, they're both direct and also very practical and very, they they have a great saying. You know, God created the world and the Dutch created the Netherlands. So these people sort of built their own universe in a way that did not have, there was no feudal society here. So they, you know, the Dutch were not constrained by yeah, a little bit, but not so much by church or monarchy, because all those built their stuff on land, which was the power, but these folks built their own land. Anyway, I don't need to walk down that path, but it's an interesting, fascinating path. And I was an American cultural history major in my academic career. So I loved the essence of what sat inside of the American consciousness and about sort of, you know, communal cooperation for individual economic freedom and benefit. It turns out that started right here, where about a few blocks from where I live right now. So I was fascinated. And so anyway, all those things were factors that came together. And we just said, throw a dart, come on, let's go. And we just packed up and gave away and sold and stored everything and moved over here and created a whole new life.
Yeah. That's great. That's wonderful. And your work has now scaled throughout Europe, Asia, and you know, you continue to grow GTD in areas maybe where you're seeing some traction, but it seems like things are really starting to take off globally in a way that they weren't before the big move.
Small, incremental.
Okay.
You know, GTD, you know, my stuff, getting things done, is for anyone, but it's not for everyone. So it's not like this, wow, you know, pop, you know, lose, you know, 40 kilos or 40 pounds in 5 days and, you know, and sign here. Right. It's just not that kind of stuff. It's very different and very subtle. So I wasn't sure how fast or how or in what scale this would show up. But to be in a place where I could help support that and then build some partnerships, that's a lot of what we've changed. My business model changed from, you know, at one point I had 50 people doing this because we were trying to do the trainings and our coachings and our so forth, you know, in our own market. We finally said, look, we don't know how to do that really well. Yeah. I know how to understand what this IP is. And then we can then build an ability to train the best people in the world to be able to distribute this and then give them the model to do that. And so this could have fooled me, but it's almost like these things just showed up once I had paid my dues, I guess. You know, the right people showed up that were say, hey, David, we know how to do this. We know how to build a global community of this stuff. And we partnered with them to help build these franchises around the world. And somebody in the U.S. showed up and said, wow, you know, we would love your IP as part of our engine. And they were elegant and very well to do that. So long story short, sorry, I didn't want to make this too long, but that's what I did. So that we were able to reduce our even overhead and then build an IP licensing business, which is really more of what we were about. So it really took that long for us to figure out what was our really sort of DNA and what we do and what I do and what Catherine and I want about this. But that was not an overnight experience, trust me.
Yeah, well, why would you expect it to be nothing else about your career has been an overnight experience, right? But, you know, it's funny because I've, you know, people, different, like you said, different businesses work for different people. But I've taken a similar approach in that, you know, my goal is not to build a giant consultancy. And I think that's what people think they want when they start in any kind of business that involves IP is I want to build a giant business and have a bunch of people working for me. And you get a little bit down that road and you realize, oh, people mean overhead, which means now we're dealing with, you know, we have to deal with 5 or 10-year-old ideas in order to continue to feed the monster, feed the machine. And I don't want to work with 5 or 10-year-old ideas. I want to work with the next idea, you know,
and quality control.
Yeah, exactly. And quality control. That's exactly right. So I think, you know, listen, whatever it is, if you're out there listening and you want to do that, that's great. You know, different people are called to different things, but I think you have to really do a gut check and not just take the default path because that's what everybody says you should do. I got some really great advice from a couple of people who had started down that path and put the brakes on and said, hold on a minute. Okay. You know, and they told me early, these are very successful internationally known authors who said, you just think twice before you do that. And it was really good advice. So you have an event coming up in June, and I'm really excited about this. I have never received an email from David Allen that said, hey, there's a big event coming up. And I got this, and I was just really excited to receive it. So it's the GTD Summit. It's in Amsterdam. It's in June. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
You know, I exactly 10 years ago in San Francisco, because GTD had sort of start to hit a nerve with some of the coolest and classiest people you'd ever meet, you know, in all from all different locales and professions and personalities. And we said, look, there's a common denominator about people who take to this. Wouldn't it be really cool for us to do this? Not only that, I mean, there was a tactical, practical decision from my marketing guy who said, look, guys, GTD, which was just our shorthand for getting things done, had become a global phenomenon through whatever all those reasons. So, look, we need to retake that space. So we need to create some sort of an event that's a global event. So we did that in San Francisco in 2009. And, you know, so we had incredible, that was an incredible experience. And I have Paul Saffo, who's, you know, a wonderful, you know, a professor at Stanford and futuristic or whatever. And Paul's an incredible guy. He said, David, don't ever do this again. This was such a unique event, you know, that was so powerful.
It was the GTD Woodstock.
It was.
So the 60s version.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, we lost a lot of money on that because that was 2009. That was, everybody stopped all their travel budgets, and so but we had an incredible event. I mean, with wonderful people that all came together. And so now that I'm in Amsterdam, and I was thinking, you know, at some point I went, you know, God, you know, now that I've got partners around the world that are spreading this, and it's still very nascent. It's still very early on. The world does not get that there are no problems, there are only projects. And so the whole thought process of what GTD really represents, you know, that's mine and Catherine's mission, is actually get this to the world. And we said, you know, at 73, I really need to make sure that I can leave a mark, if it essentially, or help the people who are doing this work now around the world and help them, you know, make that happen. Because the people who are attracted to this, the people who need it the least, they're already the most aspirational, you know, positive thinking, you know, productive people in the world that are attracted to GTD and to my methodology. But when you get those people together, oh my God, this is like so way cool.
Yeah.
And that's what, and so, you know, when two or more are gathered, you know, and this is like a serious version of that. So I said, okay, it's time to do that, no matter what. And so we've got some great, you know, producers who've done some fabulous stuff, you know, here in Amsterdam. And Amsterdam's, what a great place to do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's really much more the center of the world right now in terms of openness and global thinking and whatever. And that's why we love the city so much and the country. But anyway, that's going to happen here, and I decided to do that. So we've just now put that out there, and so we're expecting 1,500 of the most bright, you know, aspirational, already productive people that want to get together with everybody else on the planet who's already bought into this game. So we're excited about that. Yeah, it's great.
That's fantastic. And you have a whole slew of speakers coming, and you have, you know, obviously the biggest part of it, like with any great conference, is going to be the gathering of minds and the people you're going to interact with at the event, right? Just to get to meet other people and talk about your work. And
Marshall, I got Marshall Goldsmith. So Marshall said, sure. You know, come on, I coached Marshall 25 years ago, you know, so he's on. So Dan Pink's been a huge champion of my stuff for years, you know, and, you know, so, you know, there's some heavyweights. But a whole lot of people, their names, you would not know their names, but when you meet them and when you find out who they are and how much they've contributed to this thought process that is gold, you know, this is going to be a very, very, very creative and inspirational event.
That's phenomenal. So I'll put in the show notes a place where people can go to learn more. But what's the best place for people to go to learn about the event if they're interested?
Just gtdsummit.com.
And that's easy. Okay, gtdsummit.com. So David, I just have one more question for you before we let you go. I know it's late over there in Amsterdam. But is there a piece of advice that you got at some point in your life that in some way changed your trajectory or changed your life in some way?
Yeah, I think one of the most critical conversations I ever had, that to your point, was a great friend of mine. And he said, David, what's your biggest fantasy in the world? And at the time, I mean, again, this was, God, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I said, I guess, maybe become president of the United States. I don't know. And he said, why? By the way, when I was 9 years old, I carried a penny around in my pocket because it had Abraham Lincoln on it. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, oh my God, this guy, this, somehow that was such an inspiration to me in terms of what he did and who he was and how he impacted on the planet. At 9 years old, I couldn't have told you that in that way, but somehow that resonated with me. And I said, well, maybe become president. He said, why? I said, it would give me the opportunity to have people's ears for what I had to say. And he said, okay, what could you do right now that would give you that capability to have the experience of having people's ears? And I went, ah, got it. And I haven't moved from that point on, as opposed to, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? That was a sea change in my life, to understand that question and that answer for myself and say, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. What am I really after as an experience? I just wanted people's attention because I thought I had something of value to give them. And I wanted the ability to be able to create the opportunity to do that. So that was a huge change in my life. And then I haven't gone back. That was a big change. And it was one foot in front of the other. Okay, how do I do this? What do I do? Okay, here's what I need to do to be able to do that. So that was as you asked the question, that's what popped in my head.
What a wonderful gift that person gave you and gave everyone around you. I mean, it's a tremendous gift. Well, David Allen, you are a gift. I know I've told you this many times, but you've been so influential on me and you've been so generous with your time and your energy and your work. Thank you for what you do. And I hope that folks listening will come see you at the GTD Summit. I think it'd be a worthy investment for anyone. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah.
Well, again, many thanks to David Allen for spending time with us today. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, visit collective.accidentalcreative.com to get in on the conversation. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.